Right, welcome everybody to another episode of Chris and Dave Drowsy TV Cast. I'm one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host and very good friend is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. We are covering Married at First Sight UK Season 8, Episodes 13 through to 16. Now, Chris, where would you like to start today?
Well, Dave, we things are heating up. We're not even halfway through yet, I don't think. And we've had the new, obviously, intruder couples come in. But we've still got the hangover. And I know it went on for a few episodes and we'd seen it in the news as if like it was going to happen. But Brad and Shona, and one of the strangest couples, he is completely like not aware of what he's doing. So we've talked about this over and over again. I know we got a conclusion to it, but I didn't feel that, again, the experts held him to task. You know, Shona was all over the place. Brad's telling everyone how much sex they have and how great it is. And everyone knows about fucking every position they were in and who fucking orgasmed first. He obviously got no filter, but I felt that he got off lightly. His behavior's been disgusting. And I know they don't see everything because we've had this before, haven't we? Where it's like, the experts, when you called Paul out on Twitter, quite rightly, was like, well, we don't actually see what you see. We only see like when they're in these like dinner date things and we have to analyze that. And then we only go off what your feedback is. That's why people like Harrison and that got away last time for a few episodes. But he is a warning sign, a red flag so much. We've said it over and over. He's a horrible, narcissistical wanker. No matter how pleasant he speaks to people, he is just absolutely insane. And I just felt that he got away lightly for his absolutely horrible behavior towards her.
I mean, they did eventually get kicked off, didn't they?
Yeah, but
at the end of the week. So, yeah. But it wasn't called out explicitly, I don't think. I mean, they've said, you know, some of the words that you're using are not right. And, you know, Shona's your equal. I'm going to get onto Shona as well in a minute because I don't think I've got any fucking, I don't have a lot of sympathy there either. But Brad, for me, he is like a fucking cult leader. Right, yes. He has got the ingredients to be a cult leader because he does say in the moment, he says all the right things, you know, even when the experts are giving him some of this feedback about using the wrong words and stuff, he's like, yeah, I see that now, you know, and, you know, he's like kind of placating them and, you know, he does have charisma and he is a good looking bloke. You know, I'm not saying he is fucking Charlie Manson or something, but it just gave me that feeling of, you know, this guy, you know, maybe not today, but, you know, in the 70s or something would be a fucking cult leader. So, yeah, to be honest, glad they're kicked off. You know, you just have to wonder what actually fucking went down because none of it was filmed. But I got the sense that, you know, he'd said he's got this simmering rage underneath the surface. You know, all this bullshit, all this Zen stuff, all the universe. We'll go off and shag the fucking universe then. But, you know, underneath, there was this rage that could come out. And it sounds like it was that to me. You know, it sounds like Shona dared to kind of speak up at one point and then he's fucking gone off on one. So, Chris, I don't remember anyone getting properly thrown off Matt. I mean, Matt was fucking horrible, wasn't he? You know, in the last season. But I don't know. He didn't get actually thrown off, did he? I just think that for them to actually be publicly thrown off. And did you not think that like the talk they had with Paul and Mel, the sound was really off? Like, it was really echoey. The sound quality was not as good as it normally is. And it just made me think, is this a proper cobbled together sort of situation? So they really were kind of reacting to it.
You know what? It's funny because Sam said when we were watching it, she said, this has all been recorded afterwards, this. This is like, they've just done this recently, you know, to sort of, and there was a few times this week, I felt that myself when someone noticed it. She said, don't you feel as if it's like they're talking in the past tense sort of thing? And I think you're right. I think you're onto something. I think the backlash of him as a character And obviously, as much as what he's a knobhead, and like say Shona did himself no favours, they still have a duty of care to him and her, whatever, more her than him, I think, for his treatment. But he's still got to have a life out of the show, hasn't he? He's played this, or he's been this character, someone who needs to see a counsellor, needs to really self-analyse, you know, what he's doing. And he even said, didn't he, oh, I'm always apologising to her the next day. It's like, well, I'll tell you what, why don't you not do the horrible things to her the day before? Yeah, exactly. Stop being a fucking knobhead and drawing with crayon on your face with your shit tattoos. Why don't you just fucking act like a human being, you fucking bellend? You know what I mean? Absolute knobhead he is. And he's like, yeah, well, I get that, you know, and the universe dictates. No, it doesn't. You're an utter psycho. If he carries on, he's going to be spending a lot of time behind fucking bars, you idiot, because he's going to be done completely. It's just ridiculous they've even put this guy on the show. I don't care how good he was. Fucking Paul and that, I get him, and Mel and Sean. You know, we did 6 months of, you know, getting to know these contestants and getting. No, you didn't. You got nowhere. Someone else gave you a sheet and went, this is the fucking cast. Play along to it. It's all one big fucking faux bullshit story. So I'm glad he's gone. And they were saying, yeah, you two can work this out. They'll never see each other again. If Shona's got anything about her, she will bin that fucking lunatic off, Dave.
Well, that therein lies part of the problem. But I will just say about Brad, he's like a fucking Poundland yogi, isn't he? He's like someone who's just discovered a Pink Floyd album and decided he's this fucking spiritual being. So it just it defies logic. You're right. I think the experts should have held him to task a lot more. But honestly, when they go through that whole thing and I'm thinking, fucking hell, at last, you know, Shona's found a voice. And then they say, like, you're going to have to leave the show pretty much. And she's like, well, no, I don't want to. And then she goes off with the fucking tears and stuff. And then it's like, oh yeah, so we're gonna try it on the outside and we're gonna start dating. It's like, you know what? There's no fucking helping you, Shona. I did say a few weeks ago, I thought, you know, she comes across like she'll gravitate to someone like that. She'll gravitate to an abuser. And everything that I've seen since just validates that. And no matter how many people around her, you know, people, other contestants on the show and the experts, no matter what they fucking say, she's going to go back. And you know what? Guess what? He's not going to be fucking any better. He's going to be a complete dick and the abuse will get worse. So, you know, I feel bad for saying it, but it's like sometimes you just can't fucking help some people and they're just going to go right into the fucking fire and have this problem again. And the problem is not actually her. Of course it's Brad, I know that, but fucking hell, I have something about you and like recognize the fucking type of character that this guy is.
Yeah, and also one of the other people who was inserted into this, Dave, is Laura. So Laura's like getting all this information from Shona. She then sits down with Brad, tells Brad that she liked Brad as a person, but she doesn't like Shona's husband, you know, because of what he does to her. But it's like Laura's like giving up Shona's secrets there. She's confided in her. And she's just sat right in the middle. And that for me was like, where's this dynamic come with Brad that her and Brad are quite close? And the way he was talking to, he's like, hiya, babe, and all this. And I'm like, I was thinking, are we going to get the classic, you know, they've had a bit together, you know, in the gym or whatever. You know, is he going to hire a gym out like that knobhead did in Australia where he hired the gym out with no makeup and no sweat on, with makeup on and no sweat, sorry. It just seemed a bit weird how she seemed to be like she was the catalyst to the conversations between them when they were at the dinner parties. But that didn't go anywhere. I just thought Laura's been a bit of a shitster, if I'm being honest. But moving on, Dave. Spin the bottle, Dave. Now, I may have played Spin the Bottle when I was 12 years old. And, you know, you do panic at that age thinking, God, I don't want to get the piss ripped out of me because they might think I can't kiss or anything. These people range from early 20s to fucking 30s, 40s, and they're playing Spin the fucking Bottle. What the hell is going on, Dave? So, obviously, Luke couldn't wait. Luke's done a few sneaky things. I got called out dinner because he'd been on other shows. I thought him and Jay were the one. And I think his intentions are right towards Jay at the moment. We've not seen too much to think of that. However, he loves getting involved in stuff. And he couldn't wait to get to Terrence and tell him about Spin the Bottle. And I think he was right, because it's like, if it wasn't such a big deal, Porsche should have told Terence, but she tried to pass it off. Then she tried to deflect it, and I loved it there. I loved every minute of that. But I don't know where I stand with it. And I could see Terence was sort of trying not to react, and he defended Porsche, but you could see that he was really annoyed. I think it was more the respect thing than what she'd actually done. It was the fact that she hadn't even told him. And just got away with, you know, tried to get away with it. So what do you stand with that? It's quite a difficult one to maneuver that.
I'm not sure, really. I think I'm a little bit like yourself. My first kind of gut reaction is, how fucking old are you lot? You're really playing spin the bottle? Is it really spin the bottle? Was it something else? But the producers have said, well, let's call it spin the bottle or something. You know, everyone else seemed to get off scot-free. I think I saw somewhere, someone had posted the names of the other people, but there was no talk in the edit of any of the other people who were there. It all seemed to fall to Porsche. But the way that she was reacting, and I think the bit, because if you're going to hold yourself up as this this virtuous person of you know, core Christian values, then you know what, you're going to get potentially shot down there. And you know, she called out Terence, you know, in that week one for his kind of party lifestyle and stuff, and the fact that they wouldn't be compatible. It seemed to go okay in week two, but then I think maybe that is one of the reasons why Porsche was held up, you know, as this example of you know, doing the wrong things. But I always come back, Chris, that fucking season of The Bachelorette that we watched, where someone was getting dug out because they'd imagined, well, okay, if they're not there for Katie, I think it was, you know, and maybe they could be a future bachelor, and all of the other guys were like, well, that is fucking outrageous. We are all here for Katie. We haven't entertained for a single second that we could be the future bachelor. The fact that there's been 20 odd fucking episodes, there's been 20 other seasons, you know, this has been running for decades now, and that is the precedent of the show. You know, if you're liked, if you get through to the final stages, you know, you've got a good fucking chance of being the bachelor or the bachelorette in a future season. The fact that that precedent is there, none of the rest of us have thought about that, only you. And I'm like, fuck off, you bunch of lying hypocrites. And it's like that with this. It's like, what they're really trying to do for me here is they're trying to shine a light on Porsche's lack of good intentions. You know, maybe she's not here just for Terence. Maybe she has other reasons why she is on this show, like the fucking rest of you. that's kind of how I see it. It's like, you know, it's just, they're scratching away at this thing, but, you know, Porsche's been the one to let her guard down and let it be known that, yeah, she doesn't really, if she meets someone, great, but really that's not the core reason for coming on the show. So, yeah, that's kind of how I read it. Luke, definitely in there with his big shit-stirring spoon again. He fucking loves it. You know, again, he's low-key shit-stirrer, isn't he? He does it in the side, but obviously the edit picks it all up. But he's definitely in the thick of it usually. Terence, he was walking down the middle, but obviously we saw, you know, by the end, I think this is the first time we've seen it where they're kind of forced to stay in. And I've asked this question before, haven't I? I'm sure maybe even previous season, it was more the Australian one where they had to stay in. And it's like, if you fucking hate it so much, even if you signed a contract, fuck it. You know, if you are that desperate to get out, just walk away. And, you know, people have said about the contract and stuff, and I don't know, maybe the penalties are so severe. Whereas Terence, you know, by the end of it, he was just fucking done, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. And I'm with you on that. The logic of, if you were going to stay as a couple, you should be in sync to make it work. I mean, there's nothing worse than Bronte and Harrison. I know I keep banging on about them, but that was the most ridiculous decisions every week. It was fucking nonsense. Then eventually they did just both walk away, didn't they? You know what I mean? So they can do that when they want to. But you're right. It seems unfair. It's almost like he's forced now to stay, you know, like you say. And I know they walk into this. They know what the show's about. This could happen. But when you live in it, it's a lot different than signing a contract thinking, I'm going to go on a TV show. I mean, I can't see they're going to get a lot of money. They must maybe cover the financial costs for him, maybe the jobs or whatever they do. I don't know. I've never tried to work that out.
You know what would get people to fall into line, Chris? You know, if you walk away from this show, we'll cut you from the edit.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you too know then. You're right. You no, you're totally right. You're totally right. They'd be in love all the way through, wouldn't they?
Exactly. It'd be like, right, fucking hell. It's true. The whole reason I'm here. But you know what, Chris? So again, I'd question the reasons why they went after Porsche so much. But I'm not particularly defending Porsche either, because I thought that she came out incredibly defensive, didn't she? You know, and when she starts going, "Take my name out of your mouth," I'm like, are you channeling Will Smith as if like he did this thing and it was like, oh, it's great. Everyone thought, hey, Will Smith came off really fucking well out of that whole thing. it kept repeating it, and it just honestly did my head in.
Yeah, and when she got rumbled, it was that classic thing of like, I'm over it now. And it's like, no, you might be over it because you know you've done wrong. Because like Terrence said, if the boot was on the other foot, then there would be hell to pay. You know, and quite rightly, you know, if he'd done that and not told her, she's quite rightly be annoyed or disrespect. Even if you weren't bothered about the kiss, it's the disrespect of not knowing and saying, oh, we had a place to spin the bottle, you know, and then they thrash it out before they get to the dinner party. He had no clue about that until he got to the dinner party. That's where I think he defended her until he got the facts, didn't he? And he was saying that, you know, you're going at my wife and everything. But when he had time to think about it, he actually was right. And I think off the back of that, this is where we got Peggy, who's a bit of a shit stirrer. She had a bust up with Ella. But then we got George going full on fucking speaking French, which I think is disrespectful. But he was nobody likes Georgie, did they? So he was laying into everyone at the dinner party. And everyone sat there going, I don't know what you're saying anyway. We can't see the subtitles. You know what I mean? What's the point?
Is this a good thing?
Yeah. It's just, even they're going, can we have subtitles, please? You know,
who was that for? Because, you know, he knows probably most of the people don't speak French, so they're not going to understand him. You know, what was it for? He might as well have gone, blah, 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 blah.
I think that's what he did do, to be honest, Dave. But he did, you're right, because it was, Peggy was in the wrong, and she said, oh, everyone likes, but no one likes Georgie. Georgie is obviously a bit of a stir, he's quite outspoken, but I thought she was worse than him this week. I thought, like, her whole approach to everything was just the situation with Ella, you know, they fell out. I mean, they're going on, like, I mean, Peggy's talking, it annoys me on these shows. One of my best friends. You've fucking known her for 2 weeks. You're never going to see her again unless you're doing press for this fucking roadshow bollocks. You're never going to see, unless you decide to create a fucking podcast off the back of it, like some of the ex-contestants like Thomas and that have done, you know, like on maths or become an expert on slating the show. That's our job, by the way, so don't do that, Peggy, okay? But it's like she was just very strange, and her and Ella were at loggerheads, but I did love Dave, and I thought of you again, my friend. You talk about The Bachelorette, the classic scene. Ella's just conveniently doing tricep dips in a flat with a camera crew, and then Peggy knocks on the door, and she, you know, Ella's got no makeup on, Peggy has, and you can't see the camera crew in the flat. She's at the door, but she's working out, and she's, oh, I just come around to apologize. Come on in. Oh, I wasn't expecting it. Ella's like talking to the VT. Oh, that's great. I'm like, fuck off. You know what I mean? I'm like, do you really think us as the audience can't see this has been set up by the producers? It's just like, fucking do one. Why would you be doing tricep dips in your flat, in your gym gear, day when the camera crew right in front of you? It's utter bullshit again.
I thought Peggy kind of navigated that all right, I thought, because at the dinner party, and I have to say, Chris, I thought it was a great dinner party, you know, it was going off in all fucking directions, you know, Peggy and Georgie's getting it, and then she throws fucking Jay under the bus, and Jay's got a face on her because she's like, you just throw me under the fucking bus, and then Peggy's like, can I just say, everyone, I know we said we wouldn't talk about it, but, and then she fucking brings it back up again. It was going off in all directions. It was a really good one, but you know, Peggy and Georgie, or however you pronounce it, were getting it equally at that dinner party from what we saw. Peggy does the thing. She, you know, goes and apologizes to Ella because the whole thing that came out about, you know, if you're a friendship, if you're a friend couple, you should just go. And Ella sees her ass because it's like, oh, fucking hell, I'm in a friend couple. And at no point did Peggy just say, look, I wasn't talking about you, but if you feel like you're in a friend couple, that seems like more of a you problem than a me problem. Or say it in a nice way. But somehow Peggy managed to maneuver this thing to, oh, everyone thinks George is a bit of a wanker.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I can't, you know, on the commitment ceremonies, well, you know, I everyone hates George and it's a real problem. Like, no, you were in that corner as well. You were in shit corner for a while, but somehow the narrative has changed to Peggy and George's have got a fucking opinion and, about everyone else, and everyone else fucking hates the pair of them, to no, everyone apparently just hates George's. And it's like, yeah, expertly played, Peggy. And I don't know how you did that, how you maneuvered that narrative, but it was weird to see. I mean, we're obviously not seeing everything in the edit.
No, we're not. And I think what was really strange was when they did, you know, obviously in the Aussie one we recently covered, they had this thing where they swapped couples, didn't they, into the flats, which I thought was weird.
Yeah,
and I
yeah.
did think that maybe Harrison and, oh God, they've just split up as well, the blonde girl who hated him. And she,
they're like power couple. They're like CEOs of their own businesses.
Yeah, she had a Porsche and everything. She actually just split up with the guy she was with. But yeah. They got in, and I thought that was weird at the time. I thought that was a bit uncomfortable for like putting them together in these flats because it's, you know.
He hated it, didn't he?
Well, he hated it, but I thought they were, sort of that love-hate thing, I thought at the time there might have been something going on there. But they've done this retreat. And they split, you know, they split the couples up. Now, for me, Dave, I think it's pretty obvious that they are absolutely crying out for a storyline for Ella, because Nathaniel is just in there for friend fucking island. If it was Love Island, we'd say Friend Island, as you would say. It's not Friend Island. He'd no interest in Ella at all. And she keeps going on about it. She's very graphic about what she wants, Dave, out of this relationship, and he's not giving it to her. So they bring in two intruder couples, as we talked about in the last episode. So you've got Erica Jordan, Bianca JJ. Bianca and JJ, there is fuck all between them. He's not showing any affection. But him and Ella, Dave, it is on like Donkey Kong, my friend. They are definitely going to have something. And it, to me, it just reeks of the producers having to give storylines to see if any of the other couples who are not compatible can get together. And that, it just feels like it's a complete setup. That is definitely going to be what the scandal is. These two, and they did this thing, who would you kiss, who would you fancy, and it's all there. And it looks pretty natural, to be honest. They're both laughing and joking, but we're going to get the scandal, Dave. It's 100% coming, and I just think it's completely made up producer stuff, if I'm being honest.
I mean, it could be. I mean, maybe I'll forgive it a little bit and say that obviously they have hundreds, maybe even thousands of hours of footage, don't they? And so, you know, all the production is done retrospectively. So if things happen at the end and there were clues in the footage earlier on, then they'll make sure that they get into the edit. But what I'm probably most confused about, and before I forget, Chris, it's Melinda and Leighton, the couple we were searching for before.
Yes,
Melinda and Leighton were the ones
who just split up.
The Aussie one. What I'm confused about is, you know, JJ got quite a few compliments, including Ella, about how fit he was. And I'm like,
don't get it.
Oh, fucking Lego head there. Really?
Yeah, I was going to say that.
The same thing that I'm saying. I don't know. Maybe the camera is just very unforgiving to him, but it's very strange. I just clearly they're seeing something that I can't see on the TV. I mean, I can appreciate a good-looking man, Chris. You said it many times on different series. You can tell when someone's really good-looking, but JJ doesn't tick that box in any way for me. But you know, not for me. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, of course. I do. Yeah, keep digging. No, I do agree with you. He doesn't, for me either, I don't get it. I don't understand. But look, we all have people who we're attracted to in that. And maybe they're still together. I don't know. I've not even looked on social, so I don't know. Maybe I'm being a bit too harsh. But it just seemed weird to split the couples up. And then you've got this different dynamic. They're on like a retreat together. But I will say, Dave, there was two things come out of this before we finished, and I thought it was brilliant. I'm not liking what Tasha's doing to this Erica, you know, the Scottish girl who's come in. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what Erica's done. Obviously, like you said, we don't see all of the show. Maybe Erica's done something and it's got Tasha's back up. But I didn't like that it was coming across as mean girls for me, Dave, when she was going at her. I couldn't work out why she was so against her, why everything that Erica said, she rolled her eyes. There's always people you don't like. You take an initial dislike to, whether, and they always say, don't they, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. And that just seems like Erica just fumbled. Whatever she's done, Tasha does not like anything she's selling. And all she keeps saying, and it's very, it's like they're not, it's like she's actually annoyed at the producers for how dare them bringing in four new people to our show. And that's all she keeps saying. She's not been here long enough. Well, I'll tell you what, Tasha, you're going to be fuming next week because there's another four people coming in as well. So I don't know why they're bringing all these people in. But I just felt it, for Tasha, she needs to take a step back, and it really, really wasn't a good look for me at all, that.
Yeah, I thought, but the thing is, I'm going to walk the middle line here, Chris, because with sometimes you just get personality clashes, and Erica is very kind of expressive. She's got a lot to say about herself. She's got a lot to say about everyone else, you know, and the expressive thing, this thing she does with her hands does my head in. It just irritates me just watching it. So I just think she's one of those kind of girly girls who someone like Tasha just instantly dislikes. But she, I mean, she was being a bell end, and you could see, like, with the expressions and everything throughout the day, you know, they were in the pool earlier on, weren't they? And, you know, every time she's saying something, she's scowling at her, you know, and really doesn't like her. And then, of course, it goes off almost Dominica style, Chris. You know, there wasn't any glasses to be smashed in sight, but the way she gets up and what she saying, you've been here 5 fucking minutes. It's fucking great. But I'm not going to lay it all at Tasha's door, because, like I say, I do think she was in the wrong. I thought she came off badly. I think there's a bit of, there's an underlying kind of jealousy in there. You know, she sees her coming in and they have hit the ground running. You know, they've been intimate very early on, you know, great looking Jack Grealish lookalike, you know, and it seems to be going really well. And like I say, the fact that she's got an opinion about everyone else's relationship, not just their own, which is going great, much better than yours, you know, Tasha, you know, you're doing all right with Paul, but it's not great, is it? You know, so you can see why throughout the day, like, Tasha would be getting more and more wound up as things went on. So, yeah, I just thought they both came off quite badly. I'd probably say, you know, I'd err on the side of, you know, Tasha probably came off a bit worse. But I did think Erica was fucking annoying as well.
No, I agree with the Erica thing, Dave. I don't think she got off scot-free because she played to the audience then, didn't she, of having, like, everyone round her, and obviously because Tasha had gone off and sort of removed herself from the situation. I think Erica knew exactly what she was doing. It was like, oh, I don't know what I've done, you know, and it's like, you did. She did push her buttons a little bit. So let's hope that they sort that out, because we don't want that for the rest of the show. But one of my favourite bits, Dave, was not realising.
Do we really hope they solve it out? You know, resolve this thing like adults?
Well, no, I mean, well, no, but I don't think people are very quick to push the mean girl thing, aren't they? That's what I'm saying. You don't want that narrative in the show, I think, more than anything, because it takes it away from the show. You know what I mean? So that's all I meant. But no, Dave, what about Thomas being fucking hard as nails and fucking Arthur shitting his pants and backing down? I was not expecting Thomas to go, I am going to kick right off now. And he was proper up to a fucking brawl. I thought Arthur sat up just to say, really? And he went, apologise now and say, what did he say? You, and he made him do it. And he's like, does it make you feel better? And I'm thinking, you have shit your pants there, Arthur. You didn't know what the hell to do. Thomas has got some right fucking backbone there, Dave. I've got to give him that. I wasn't expecting that at all.
Yeah. I don't know. I might have to go back and watch the replay even of this, because old fucking Bertie Big Bollocks there suddenly comes out of nowhere, you know, and he must be about fucking 10 stone, Chris, wet. You know, there's nothing to him at all. We've seen, I know he's like tennis coach, so, but Arthur is pretty fucking ripped. So I know where my money would go if it came down to it. But the way I read it was not the way you did, that like he shit himself. It was that he just realized that was his de-escalation, you know, and had a thought, you know, you're pretty good at the old de-escalation thing. You know, I think probably growing up with so many younger siblings probably helps with training that. So for me, he was just de-escalating. He knew the way this was going. If it ends up getting down to it, you know, even if it ends up chest to chest, like fucking, you know, no actual fisticuffs or anything, but, you know, it escalates from there, then it's not a good look for anyone. So I thought Arthur did pretty well there. I didn't think he was shitting it at all. I just thought he was de-escalating.
Very good, Dave. I like that. I'll have to watch it myself now, because I was all paying for the popcorn and everything. Like, oh, this is great. But no, I think, again, it's been a good week of maths. This is, I'm all in on these lot. It really is. Honestly, I think they're just so silly what they're arguing about and different things going. Like I say, the producer's hands are on it, but I think some of the couples do need a bit of a nudge. So let's see. But no, great stuff, mate. And another great week again of reality TV nonsense. So if you want to email us, guys, cdrealitycast@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on social media, @cdrealitycast. As always, if you do want to support us a little bit more, and thank you so much to everyone who supported us past and present, please go over to patreon.com/cdrealitycast. So today's roll call of honour, and a big thank you, is Danielle, Caroline, Kim, Amanda, Larissa, Helen, Nicola, Emma, Fiona, Cassie, Megan, Kate, Maggie, Zoe, Gillian, Keith, Helen, Chloe, Noreen, Joanna, Libby, Katie, Dee Dee, Susan, Lauren, Lucky Lulu Green, and Kent Gustafson. So thank you so much, guys, for all your support. We really, really appreciate it. So, Dave, we are literally almost at the halfway point of maths, and I'm pretty happy with the way it's gone so far.
Yeah, again, all these little wars, these little arguments between different factions, you know, where is it going to go? I still think, you know, Peggy, I mean, because of the whole arguments with the, you know, the spin the bottle thing and everything, Peggy and George's have kind of got off on it. And actually, Chris, you know, one of the things we haven't mentioned when it came to intimacy week, seems like George's has some particular taste in the bedroom.
Yes, Dave.
I thought that was quite funny when Peggy's like, I am not going to lick your arsehole.
Yeah, well, there's some really bad stuff I was going to say. But yes, Dave, yes, I did notice that. Yes, I did notice that.
Yeah, it did make me laugh. But let's see where that goes, because I just don't see any fucking future for them at all. I think, you know, George's is doing a good job of trying to raise his profile. He's saying all the right things, but I just don't buy them as a couple at all. I think the stuff with Ella and JJ, that's going to be next week's focus, I think. It's weird, wasn't it? You know, Ella's going on about the lack of intimacy from Nathaniel, you know, and this, that, and the other. And then one fucking conversation with JJ, and she's like, oh, I hope my head doesn't get turned, you know. But you're literally saying it into the camera. You're saying you hope your head doesn't get turned. By definition, you've kind of had your head turned already. So, yeah, let's see where that one goes next week.
Well, incoming Nathaniel outraged that Ella has cheated on him, Dave, when he showed no interest. But there you go, anyway. But you're right, anyway. So, thanks again, mate. And let's go again.
Nice one. Thanks to everyone out there for listening. Thanks to all our supporters. And we'll speak to you next time.
Bye.